Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Round Table with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Round Table with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Let me interrupt you. You know, I can say this because I'm white, but I think we've got an early indication that Pat Kelsey's got, there's several white transfers out there that I think we're going to have several white boys on the roster next year. So that, to me, like I said, shooting.
All right, Ty Spaulding with CardinalSports.com. James, what do I do with that? My phone's blowing up, James. I just need you to know that right now. I got texts coming from a lot of people right now. Rummage texted me, "White boys, baby, take that, UK fans." We got our own Reed Shepherds now. Oh, man, what an all-time moment. Just Matt's face. I wish everyone could have seen Matt's face. We were streaming on Facebook, and he saw his face when he heard that sound. It was priceless. All right, it's the roundtable here, ESPN 680, 105.7. I want to thank our friends at Cox's and Every Liquors for sponsoring the 5 o'clock hour, as they have done for years. 27 area locations, walk-in, drive-through delivery. That's Cox's and Evergreens, Louisville's go-to liquor store. And it's Wednesday. It means buy three, get one free cigars. So if you're getting ready for the weekend, go get you some cigars. Check out their wine selection, their beer selection, their bourbon selection. It's great. And yeah, I say it all the time. If you throw a rock here in Louisville, you're going to hit Cox's or Evergreen Liquors. Go check them out. It's Louisville's go-to liquor store, Cox'sLouisville.com, 437-9680. Texter says, the show Evil strikes me as something you would like. It's not for kids, but it may be something to watch with the wife. Yeah, I've seen that show before, Texter.
I feel like I've heard that.
It's really good. It's about, okay, so it's, I forgot what the lady does. She, I don't know if she's police or what, and then she teams up with a Catholic priest, and they go around and investigate paranormal stuff and possessions, and It's actually a pretty good show. Like, it's for, because I'm not a big network TV guy. I like HBO shows and Showtime and stuff on Amazon, and
where they can freely cuss,
really freely cuss. And yeah, but this one's good. It really, they do a good job for it being a network TV. It's not cheesy at all. It's actually, there's some pretty creepy stuff on there. But no, Texter, I've seen that show and I do like it. That's one of those things when it came on, it piqued my interest, and I was like, oh, this might be my wheelhouse. And you know, you go into it and you always have your guard up because, again, it's, you know, NBC or ABC or whatever the platform is on.
There's only so much they can get away
There's only so much they can get away with. And then I watched it. I was like, okay, they actually did a really good job with that. It's not corny at all. All right, so let's get back to the sports. Sports next. Sports, damn it. Talk sports. All right, so
it's the summer, damn it.
It's the summer, damn it. All right, so let's go ahead and get into some basketball. We talked a lot of basketball today. It's been a lot of football here with Matt McGavick joining us today. So appreciate him. A lot of video game talk.
Me.
Oh, yeah. This has been fun, man. We've had a good time. A lot of football talk. Dennis Lampley talked to Kendrick Haskins. All right. So basketball-wise, both coaches were able to go out and get a good crop in the portal class. They were able to get some good players in the portal class. Now the next step for both coaches, Matt, is to see what we can do in the high school ranks, okay? So a couple players are starting to cut their lists, and one of them is somebody that both Kentucky and Louisville are looking at, okay?
Yes.
And that's and you may know more about these guys than I do, but this is from Jamie Shaw on Twitter, 5-star plus. Darren Peterson, he's a shooting guard, discusses official visits and his recruiting timelines. He breaks down his recruitment, the teams he's looking at: Kansas, Ohio State, Washington, Kentucky, Louisville, and Southern Cal. So, I mean, those are some big names in there. So that's a guy that both coaches are going to be looking at. And then Joe Tipton tweets, a Caden Lewis, one of the top point guards of the 2025 class, is down to 8 schools, and he's down to Tennessee, UConn, Kentucky, Syracuse, Michigan, North Carolina, Duke, and Auburn. And again, another guy with an offer sheet that you look at. These are the big boys that are going after him.
Yeah, the blue bloods.
The blue bloods. Yeah, some of these guys are definitely blue bloods. And, you know, I know Caden Lewis has visited Kentucky. I know that Peterson's setting up visits right now. I think both staffs have had Malachi Moreno on campus. No, Kentucky has had him. He's, you know, kind of a local product, 5-star big man. You know, at some point though, Matt, it's nice to be on the list.
Compared to what we've seen the last like 2 years, it's nice to see how Louisville's on these lists and they're legitimately on this list, and not like how Kenny Payne was saying, "Hey, if you keep me, I might be able to get this 5-star."
And a lot of that was just because, you know, Kenny Payne is, you know, like it or not, he is respected in recruiting circles, and he does have a respected name in recruiting circles. So I think a lot of that was just like favors for Kenny Payne. We'll put Louisville on the list, but I'm not really going to look at Louisville, but we'll put you on the list because we like you, Kenny Payne. I think there's a lot of that. With this, it's different because you feel like it's different for both of us because
the interest is actually there.
The interest is there, and you feel like you can get some of these guys. For me, it's different in regards to most times throughout John Calipari's career at Kentucky, if we were top 3 to 5 on a kid's list, I felt like we're going to get him. I felt like that. It's like,
or if they were a top 3 to 5 prospect.
We're going to have our chances. We are definitely going to land some of them.
Yeah.
With Mark Pope, it's different. Now I'm like, okay, what kind of a shot do we have? If we're on the list, how far up the list is Kentucky, is Mark Pope? And there's been a couple of recruits here recently that Mark Pope's offered and gone after, and they've opted to go other places. And so the surefire, we're going to get our dudes, isn't there for us anymore, unless Mark Pope can turn it around.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because obviously Pat Kelsey has proven to be like a really good portal recruiter, but now this is where like the lifeblood of a lot of college programs, basketball, football, doesn't matter, just comes in high school recruiting. And Pat Kelsey, I mean, he has had success recruiting at the high school level. I mean, he wasn't like the main reason that Wake Forest pulled guys like Chris Ball and some other
McDonald's All-American.
Sure, but he was on that staff. But he was on that staff, and he played a role. So it's going to be his first. It's going to be his first time doing it in a while. So he's going to have to, you know, get used to it and get back used to it from recruiting and some of the deeper ends and being in the waters of some of the higher profile guys. And I'm curious to see how the 25 cycle pans out, because while it is technically like his first full cycle, as we know, like some of these recruitments, like they take 1-2+ years, and you have to really cultivate that relationship like from scratch. So with the class 25, I mean, this applies to both Kelsey and Pope.
Sure.
Like they're going to have to, like, they have like a year, they're a year behind some of their peers. Like some of these other blue bloods, some of these other notable programs have already, you know, invested a decent amount of time and interest in some of these guys.
Since they're like freshmen.
Exactly. And, and now Pat Kelsey, and maybe Kelsey and Pope were doing the same thing with these guys, but now they're doing it at a brand new spot, and kind of have to like redo your recruiting pitch, or in the case of some people, go to a brand new person and try and give that same recruiting pitch to someone who's already had like a year's worth of recruiting investment from like a few other programs. So I'm curious to see how that plans out, because there's already been a couple of players who've been scheduled to try and visit Louisville. Caden Lewis was actually one who is supposed to visit in August, but ever since he's excluded Louisville from his top 8, I wonder if that's going to be still on the books. Though, if I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure when Corin Johnson, it might not have been him, it might have been a different transfer, but I do remember there was a transfer who posted his top six, seven, whatever, and Louisville wasn't on it.
And I think it was Corin Johnson.
And then he committed to Louisville. So it'll be interesting to see how if Kelsey and the staff over there is still able to stay in the mix with the Caden Lewis, like still be in his good graces, even though like they're not in his top eight anymore. Maybe they can be in his top five or be there at the very end and try and get a last second recruiting coup or something like that. But so I'm intrigued to see how it pans out in this first cycle.
And plus, I wonder how many are waiting to see what the product looks like on the court.
Yes.
Because, you know, with Kentucky and John Calipari and then with Rick Pitino, you know, before at Louisville, they knew the success. They watched John Wall. They watched Russ Smith. You know, they watched these premier guys play there and win national championships and go to Final Fours, and the brand was already there. Now, the brand of Kentucky is still the brand of Kentucky. The brand of Louisville is still the brand of Louisville. But how much different is it going to look under these two coaches? So if both coaches go out there and kill it this year and, you know, exceed expectations and, you know, not only go to the tournament but win some games in the tournament, then that's going to be a signal to recruits like, okay, this is where it's supposed to be. This is where a guy, you know, five-star like me can go and showcase my ability for the NBA at a national level. But if they both struggle, I wonder if it becomes a struggle back to recruiting, and then it's back. And I'm not dumping on the transfer portal. There's a lot of good players in the transfer portal, but I just don't think that could be your sole source to get guys and be sustainable, because we have to remember too, the COVID stuff's going away.
Yeah.
So college basketball and college football both aren't going to be as old as it is now. I mean, I think last year was the final COVID year. So
I'm pretty sure you're right.
Yeah, so we're finally going to be back into like normal college ages. You won't have like Jack Golke out there at 24 years old, or however he was.
Or that tight end at Miami who's been in college for like 8 years or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that.
I mean, Cam Rising, the Utah quarterback, just had to come out, I think, yesterday or today and say, I'm not coming back for an eighth year.
Yeah.
Like that's not my plan.
And I can appreciate that mindset.
good for him, because there's some people that just hang around. You're like, why are you still here? Who is the quarterback that played for West Virginia and Georgia and ended up at Rice? Jaden McDaniels. Was it Jaden McDaniels?
No. I know who you're talking about.
No, that's a...
That's the guy who just drafted by the Commanders.
Oh, yeah, duh.
No. That's Jaden Daniels. Jaden McDaniels is the small forward for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
There you go. Okay. What was that guy's name? Oh, my gosh.
JC Daniels.
I knew it was the Daniels. Okay. So.
No, USC, Georgia, and then Stetson Bennett. Like, I think he, like, played bad like the first half, and then they're like, all right, we're going with Stetson,
and then Stetson took the job, won two national titles, then he went to West Virginia, then he went to Rice. It's like, that dude went everywhere. He's in college football forever.
I don't remember his name, but I just saw it was a like clip of like some dude on Oklahoma State, and he was talking, and it was like something about his mustache or something.
Yeah.
And one of the responses was, this guy lost to Will Greer. Get a job. And I was like, damn.
Yeah,
Will Greer, I haven't heard that name in a minute.
Gone for a long time. It was at Pacino's second year. Was this first or second year back at Louisville when Will Greer played?
I think it was first.
His first season back at Louisville, and then it was Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
I think that's right. Yes, I think that's right. But yeah, if you play when Will Greer was playing, you're right. Like, give it up. And I talked about this yesterday, the day before, but like the Cavender twins, they've been in college basketball forever. And that'll start now going back, because they're not going to have this extra COVID year to play. So I think high school recruiting will start making a bit more of a comeback. I think the portal will still be a big deal, but I think it's important that both Kelsey and Pope get in on these high school guys and the high profile guys, because these kids have a lot of talent. Look at Cooper Flagg. We'll talk about him more in the next segment. But you know, a guy like Cooper Flagg's not in the portal. He's not.
No.
Or if there's a guy like Anthony Davis, he's not in the portal. Like, these are special dudes that are going to play 1 year in college and then go straight to the NBA. You can't ignore that fact. I mean, you know, they didn't win with Reed Sheppard or Rob Dillingham, but they're not a lot of players like Reed Sheppard or Rob Dillingham at all these other schools. They're coming from places like Oklahoma State and Oklahoma and Washington. And I'm sorry, those dudes don't exist at places like that most of the time.
Most of the time. I mean, there's the rare instance where you can get a transfer and he is like in a NBA or
like
NFL.
Dalton Kennect.
Yes.
Yeah, he absolutely. Dalton Kennect, but there's not a lot of guys like Dalton Kennect or Antonio Reeves out there.
He's the exception to the rule.
Like, yes.
I think more often than not, you're going to find like most of your like professionals like through your traditional recruiting methods. That's not to say you can't develop like an NBA or an NFL talent into someone that's from the portal.
Sure.
But the at this point, now granted, it's still like a relatively small sample size. I think we'll know a lot more about like what the true like return on interest is mm-hmm. in a few years when we have like a bigger sample size. But just, you know, kind of glancing over it, it seems like you get there's a higher hit rate on professional success on guys who didn't come by the portal.
Yeah, I agree with that. So yeah, we're both on the same page there. Now, it seems inevitable, Matt, that speaking of college basketball, we're going to expand to 68 or expand beyond 68 teams.
I hate it.
And I think that's one thing that is universal. It's really funny because everybody out, or maybe not everybody, but the vast majority of people were for expanding the college football playoff to 12 teams. And rightfully so, you know, because you get more people yeah. other than Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, and
plus Division 1A was the only level of football that had a playoff format that was less than, you know, it was just a two-team playoff format for
right.
the longest time.
Right, right. And so with this, you know, we want more. We want more teams to be able to get in it, and it's not just the same four teams every single season. That's the beauty of the NCAA tournament. You know, 68 teams is the sweet number. There's a different champion just about every year, UConn excluded. But you rarely see back-to-back championships, whereas in college football, you know, Alabama won, you know, however many in a row straight. Georgia won two straight. And you get the same teams repeating over and over again, at least. And it still might happen. It still might happen. The big boys are still yeah. going to eat. But at least you give other teams shots to see what they can do.
Give them a chance.
Give them a chance. But there's other teams, like in basketball, like, you know, who wanted to see Oklahoma make it next last year?
Or, sickos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or like Mississippi State. Or no, I think yeah. they did make it. But like LSU or like a mid team. Ole Miss is a good one. Ole Miss is a good yeah. is a good one. They were right there, kind of on the bubble most of the season. They end up being out. But I mean, so the options are keep the field at 68. This is coming from Matt Norlander on CBS. Keep the field at 68 teams, increase the bracket to 72, or inflate it to 76. So those, I think, unfortunately, I think we're headed towards 76. And so Matt Norlander lays out five good arguments. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll read the bullet points as five yeah. points. One, most sports fans are against expansion. You know, all of us involved here, I think Tanner would agree on that too. So it's 3 out of 3. Two, expansion won't bring much more money, if any. I agree with that. I mean, mm-hmm. what's the financial benefit? Most of these teams are going to be one and done, and they're coming from markets that don't really care about college basketball. So it's not right. like you're drawing in a bigger market here. The market's the market. It's the NCAA tournament. You're, yeah. you're going to have a market no matter what. So I don't know if they'll get more money. Three, expanding amid uncertain times would be short-sighted. I mean, the NCAA itself right now is on shaky ground. Lawsuits, you know, everywhere you look, you have teams in your own conference trying to escape and go yeah. other. You have Greg Sankey trying to monopolize, you know, college athletics and Overlord the Big Ten. Sankey. Yeah, yeah, the Lord and Savior Sankey. Four, minor expansion will worsen scheduling for mid-majors. And then finally, number five, Pac-12's death guarantees more at-large bids for big boys. So that means
that last one's a good point.
Yeah, so that means your places like Dayton and Middle Tennessee State and College of Charleston and Winthrop and places like that won't have as many seats at the table because we've got to get, you know, Buzz Williams and his, you know, 19 and 13 Texas A&M yeah. team in there.
Yeah, but the counterpoint to that is that if you do expand, who's to say that the selection committee won't just put more middling power conference teams in there? Because, I mean, I can't remember what Sankey exactly said, but he said that something to the effect that the SEC had a lot of deserving teams that should have gotten in and some didn't get in, and he's trying to go to bat for his teams. But like realistically, some of those, you know, middle of the road SEC teams, and I'm not just picking on the SEC, but like a lot of these middle of the road power conference teams probably shouldn't be getting in over some more deserving teams out there.
Mid-major teams. Yeah, exactly. I'm with you there, that are winning their conferences and have had nice seasons. It was 2 years ago when Vanderbilt missed out. So I remember Vanderbilt missed out on the NCAA. Oh, you just, your eyes raised. You get some news, breaking news.
Greg Berhalter will not continue as the U.S. men's national team coach. Multiple sources tell Fox.
Wow. So that is a Jason Ince. You hear that? You hear that, Ince? Soccer. Yep. Soccer's changing, Ince.
Let's throw Lexi Lawless' name in the book right now just so we can piss off Ince.
Yeah, even more. Let's piss him off. Yeah, Lexi. Oh, Lexi Lawless for hashtag Lexi Lawless coach. Let's go. Get it trending for the U.S. men's Lawless national home. Team. Yeah, bring Lawless home. Bring Lawless home. I'm going to start a bot account. account to get that going. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that goes, but you're right. It was Vanderbilt missed out because they won a couple games in the SEC tournament. They had a whatever season. It was before last year. It was before Jerry Stackhouse got fired.
Yeah.
And Mike Sankey was putting on for Vanderbilt. And John Calipari was putting on for Vanderbilt. I'm like, nobody wants to see Jerry Stackhouse go in as a 9 seed and lose the 8 seed or whatever the case, or be in the first four mm-hmm. and lose in Dayton, Ohio. Like, no one cares. Sorry, they didn't make it. They don't deserve to be there. No one needs Vanderbilt basketball. People would rather see the smaller schools get in there and make noise. And that's part of the charm of the NCAA tournament.
And plus, the NCAA tournament means a lot more to some of these mid-majors because, like, a lot of these conferences outside of, like, the Power 5 or Power 4 now, excuse me, in the Big East and some of these other, like, top-tier conferences, like, these conferences get one team in there.
Yeah.
So if that one team gets in, it means the world to them.
Sure.
And if it's one of those one big league, like if you're the top overall seed and you lose in your conference tournament, you're done. So
yeah.
You don't have a chance. So now, like, it's one of those things where, like, you better be on your best game. Otherwise, you're going to ruin your team's shot. Whereas, like, at some of these other power conferences, you could be, like, a 500 team and be like, and we can afford to lose this game. We'll probably get in. Like, it's not apples to apples here.
Yeah, and plus, these mid-major teams, they bring a lot of fans because it might be their only opportunity to be in the NCAA tournament. I mean, you look at Oakland. Oakland hadn't been in, I think it was like 13 years or whatever it was, and they not only do they get to the tournament, but then they beat Kentucky. And I'm sorry, but I hate stabbing the knife into my own heart and my other fellow brethren out there, BBN. But, you know, when Oakland beats Kentucky, it means more to them because they're Oakland and that's Kentucky. And we just took down Kentucky. And they'll remember that at that school forever.
And, like, the national audience at large remembers that more because they gravitate towards the Cinderella stories.
100%. It's a terrible idea. It's an awful idea. Again, it's so weird how we're all for college football expansion, but college basketball expansion is a big bet no, but it's for good reason.
Yeah. At least on the college football front, people want expansion because, like, the tournament field for college football was literally the minimum size it could be.
Yeah, it was a small, absolutely. It was four teams. And you know, some conferences,
even before that, when it was in the BCS era, too.
Yeah, it was just, you have two teams. That's all you have. Yeah, BCS era, then before that, they voted on who was the national championship. There wasn't a real game. Then there was a real game. Now there's a playoff. Now there's a bigger playoff, which, again, I'm all for because you don't get conferences frozen out that way.
Yeah.
You know, the Florida State argument, would they have won any games? Probably not.
I think they deserve to be in.
But you put them in, you see what happens. Now you don't have that argument anymore.
Yeah.
And is anybody really going to put up a fight for the 13th or the 14th team?
No.
See, that's really different.
At least with this format, I don't know what the exact number is, whether it be five teams have a realistic shot to have a say to win the title, whether that's 6, 7, 8, maybe even 9. But at least in this format, you have a good amount of teams that you can genuinely make the argument for. Like, they should have been in there. At least, like, with teams on the back end, you can see, like, oh, they can fight for their way to get it. But, like, the main crop of teams are the ones that we can consensusly say, like, these teams deserve a shot in the playoff.
And it's gonna make watching that first, you know, college football playoff ranking show that comes out where they unveil the top 25, because now there's not a cutoff at 5. Like, okay, we're number 10. We're not playing it. Now if you come up, you're number 10 in the country, you're like, oh my gosh, we're in it. We got to keep winning. So, and it's going to ramp up excitement even more.
So you know what my favorite aspect of this format is?
What's that?
The fact that the top 4 seeds are reserved exclusively for conference champions, so it screws Notre Dame out of a top 4
seed.
Yeah,
yes, it does. that's a great point. So the Notre Dame stance for, you know, decades of we're not going to be in a conference because we're independent, we're Notre Dame, and we're going to play who we want to play is actually hurting them now, because you're right, they're not going to be that top 4 seed and get
then
the,
they played a majority of an ACC schedule.
We're not part of
the ACC, we're independent, but we're going to play Clemson, FSU,
Louisville,
Boston, Miami,
BC. Yeah, we're going to play all those
independent.
Teams. We're independent. We're still playing Southern Cal, damn it. All right, let's take our last break here. I'm going to read some text before we do, though. Shout out to Republicans for demonizing TikTok. The last thing my parents need is to be on TikTok. Thank you. Texter, Vandy would have beaten Oakland. Not if Jack Golke was going off like that, they wouldn't have. Shut up, Texter. Not if he was on fire. Stop that. Quit. Don't do that. Oh no! Is this real? Oh gosh! Oh, God. Okay, I just got a text that has a tweet on it.
Oh no!
Mark Pope is currently running around Kroger Field with a football helmet on. There we go. Okay,
yeah. Pat Kelsey.
Okay, so the cringe, corny wars continue. But Pat Kelsey,
will he catch the ball behind his back?
I don't know.
If he doesn't, then we're winning that one.
Yeah, I'm watching him now. He's 7 foot tall and he's running out the football helmet on. So Pat Kelsey,
Stoops has given him a scholarship to play tight end.
Yes, yeah, that would be funny. But Pat Kelsey took the lead, and Mark Pope, he couldn't sit idle. He couldn't just sit. Let Pat Kelsey do it. He had to go and one up him.
I can do better.
Exactly. Yes. And there we go. Okay, Pope. I see. Damn it.
You think you're a cornball? Watch this.
That hurt me. That hurt. That was like someone stabbing a knife into my chest.
Well, you knew it was going to happen.
Well, I know.
Once you made that first tweet,
I know
something went off in Pope's head. Like, I gotta out cringe this guy.
My Twitter is gonna be a mess.
Your Twitter's had a lot of receipts drawn the last few months.
Yes, it has.
I just feel like I want to put that out there.
I make a lot of freezing cold takes videos made by fans.
I remember when I texted you when Pope was first announced with the reports. I sent you the famous Dan Rovell tweet. I feel bad for you, but this is tremendous content.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're like, sorry, Cyril, but this is funny. This is gonna be good content. Texter, expansion college basketball would devalue the sport. Everyone gets a trophy, and there's no accountability for having a team full of bums. I agree.
Is this for the expanded basketball?
The basketball, yeah, basketball.
Because at some point, the regular season does have to matter.
Yeah, absolutely. Texter, these coaches competing to be the biggest goober. Yes, they are. Yeah. Texter, Mark Pope needs to do what Trump is miraculously doing right now. Just sit back. Texter. If they continue getting greedy, the regular season will mean absolutely nothing because everyone gets into the tournament. They'll just play regular season games for TV money and gambling purposes. I agree with you.
It feels like it's spiraling towards that.
Yeah, Texter, Streeble likes the Spice Channel. God, I forgot about the Spice Channel. Good pull by you, Texter, the Spice Channel. Texture Yellow Jackets on Showtime is amazing. I heard that's really good. That's on my list. It's an ever growing list. But the Spice Channel is not on my list. Just throwing that out there. All right. Let's take our final break. Hey, if you're looking for a job, the UPS Jobs Summer Hiring Fest is on. Join us for the UPS Jobs Summer Hiring Fest Saturday, July 13th or Sunday, July 14th. Summer treats and giveaways. You can apply online at upsjobs.com/worldport. upsjobs.com. You can go there as well. Day shift, part-time, package handling positions are available. Starting pay at $21 an hour. Benefits include paid holidays, paid vacation, a 401k, tuition assistance and health care, including medical, dental, vision. After 9 months, take it from me, I worked at UPS while I was in college, and it was a great deal. So go check that out. Go to upsjobs.com.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Anthony Calandria, that quarterback for Virginia, looks like a white Cam Newton.
You're listening to the Round Table with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
All right, welcome back to the show. It's the final segment here on the Round Table, live in the Liquor Barn Studios. Matt McGavick sitting in with me, along with Tanner Brutamesso. Tonight after the show, 6:40 p.m., Reds versus Rockies. Also, you have over on 93.9, the Villeville Sports Live, 7 p.m. Tomorrow, you get Soccer City, 6 p.m. after the show here on 680. Friday, Kentucky Sports Racing Spotlight, 6 p.m. on 680. Saturday, the Preston Greenhouse Gardening Show, 8 a.m. on 93.9 The Ville, followed by the Victory Formation Sports Show with Jeff Lightsey and James Black, 10 to 11 on 93.9 The Ville. And Sunday is the Sunday Morning Hangover. Nick Kern, Phil Baker, and Zach Cantrell, ESPN 680, 1057, 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line. Matt, you have watched the video of Mark Pope. I DM'd it to you, running around with the football helmet on. Your reaction is what?
I need these two to do an Oklahoma drill right now.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Let's go.
I want to see this so badly.
Get PK and Mark Pope in that Oklahoma drill. You hear that, Tox? Who's going to win that one, Tox?
I'm taking PK. He's got the gravitational pull. Hey, James, he's smaller.
0%. James, low man wins.
No. Yeah. Pope.
Go for the knees, no, PK. Go for the knees.
Pope will get lower. He's going to be
fine.
Can
he get lower?
He's going to be fine.
I saw that video. He looks pretty tall.
He's very tall. No, he's a goon. He absolutely is, but it's awesome. But yeah, the goober off continues here with Pat Kelsey and Mark Pope. And Mark Pope just retook the lead here. All right, let's go ahead and get into a few final things before we get out of here. Yesterday, you know, we talked about Justin Edwards had a horrendous debut. In the NBA Summer League, basically went zeros across the board. I think he had like one rebound, one assist, or whatever. Well, last night,
so it was barely better than Bronny.
Yeah, barely better than Bronny. But last night, he did much, much better. So I was hoping he'd bounce back. Justin Edwards did. He had a game low 0 points the night before. And then last night, if I can get there. Okay, here it is. Last night, he had 14 points, 5 of 7 shooting, 3 from 3 from the 3-point line, had 3 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks in 25 minutes. Okay, so it was a much, much better outing for Justin Edwards in his summer league game. And, you know, I'll say it again. We said it a bit yesterday. I'm going to get your thoughts on it coming from a little perspective. But that was a dude that he does have talent. He did flash and show moments, but he needed to come back to college. He just was not ready yet. And I think you're seeing that now in the summer league. I don't know what to expect. You have 0 points. It was very much like Kentucky. He'd have 3, 4, 5, 6 points one night, and then come out the next night and drop 20. And you just wouldn't know what to expect.
I think there are just some, and this isn't just me pinning this on Justin Edwards. There's some people that are so dead set or like have their recruiting ranking coming out of high school like etched in their brain coming out, where they think, yeah, I was this coming out of high school, I'm guaranteed to leave it here after 1 year. And even though their play out on the court during that first year might not reflect that, they still think in the back of their mind, like, yeah, I'm still
that guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There are some guys who maybe don't want to have that bitter pill to swallow to think, like, yeah, maybe I should probably come back another year and get some extra development and come further along so I can guarantee myself a spot.
Sure, yeah, sort of like what DJ Wagner and Aaron Bradshaw did. Yeah. They both came back. They knew they weren't ready. I remember the worst example of that was, I don't know if you remember this player, Khalil Whitney. He was a UK player. He's like a top 15-ish 5-star recruit. He comes to Kentucky and he leaves after Christmas because he was bad. He was terrible. He could not play any position on the floor. He couldn't do anything. And it was clear that he was not going to play. So he dipped out and he tried to get drafted to the NBA. I don't know where he is now, but it was one of those things where, like you said, he still had in the back of his mind, I'm that guy. I can still do that, where he dominated in high school, couldn't do a thing in college, instead of saying, you know what, I need to work on my game. I need to improve. I'm not ready for this. I need to stay in college. Even if he went to Kentucky, if he transferred out, went somewhere else, he didn't do that. He said, no, I'm still that guy. I'm still good. I'm going to go to the NBA, and doesn't get drafted. Not everyone has the Bronny James.
Everyone has Bronny James' dad.
That's what I'm saying. The Bronny James lifeline, where like LeBron James is your dad, and his team is going to take you no matter what. You're going to be on a team. Nobody else has that but him.
Yeah, and plus, like, I don't want to dive deep too much into the Bronny James discussion, but I mean, I remember when that team of his on the EYBL circuit came to Louisville a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And they played that Bradshaw and Wagner team.
Yeah.
And I went there to see Bradshaw and Wagner, obviously, because they were Louisville recruits. But, I mean, it was also another factor saying, oh, hey, Bronny James is playing. I'm going to get to see him. And he was not that good. But he was clearly talented. He was clearly good, but at that point,
but
he was like
generating. All the ESPN guys on the TV told me he's going to be the next coming of Jesus, I thought.
It really is bizarre.
I know.
Kendrick Perkins losing his mind over that is some of my favorite ESPN.
They took
now.
Like 5 minutes of like the broadcast where they, I think in the second round, it's like a 2 minute or
yeah.
a 3 minute like clock to like yeah. make your pick.
Mm-hmm.
And they spent like 5 extra minutes like just hyping up like, oh man, this is the moment that the Lakers are going to do it. This is so special.
Extended
and it was like
it.
The picks in yeah. for 5 minutes. And then I was like, now we have the deputy commissioner. And it's like, oh my God, you guys are overdoing this. We get it.
Like, we know what's coming. Get it over with.
Yeah, get it over with. Just do it. And part of me kind of feels bad. I mean, I don't feel bad for Bronny James because he's going to be rich for his entire life. And, you know, he's going to be fine. But the expectation on him, you know, definitely is crazy. And, you know, we're talking about high school basketball players. And I just, this, I don't know how you feel about it. You probably feel the same way I do about it. But Cooper Flagg, he's awesome.
Talk about it.
We got to talk about it. It's been on my show sheet for the last two days, and I just didn't get to it. So I have to get to it today. But so this is from ESPN: three pointer over Anthony Davis, swish a baseline turnaround over Jrue Holiday, easy an acrobatic putback after crashing the boards and getting fouled by Bam Adebayo, no problem. Those are the three best defenders in the NBA. Cooper Flagg is 17 years old and he held his own against them all. And you know, when you have guys like Kevin Durant coming out and singing your praises, and just, I mean, Devin Booker says he wants it. I know this experience he's going to take with him and move forward. Let me see here. To be able to do what he did, not even playing a college game, let alone an NBA game, there's no fear. Since select team forward Hami Hawkes Jr. of the Miami Heat.
I can't pronounce that name.
I know.
Okay.
But I mean, and then it's just, he's 6'9". He can do everything. He led Montverde Academy to 30-0 record in a national title in the Nike Hoop Summit. He was an all-star. He chose Duke over UConn. And it's just like, I don't think John Shire's a very good coach. I think he's a fine coach. And he's living off the Coach K bump when it comes to this recruiting stuff. And
I feel like it's fair, yeah.
And he Cooper Flagg is going to be the kid that transcends John Shire's coaching.
Oh, it absolutely
like
will.
he's going to be a beast. He's going to be great, and I hate it already.
And who else And who else from Duke is coming back? I can't remember. Do you know?
No, a lot of them, like the whole team transferred.
Really?
Yeah, like that. Jeremy Roach transferred.
I know McCain is with the Sixers now.
Yeah, yeah. And Filipowski went pro, but no, a lot of the Dukes.
Filipowski.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. We talked about that. Yeah. but no, for Duke, they took one of the biggest hits in regards to the transfer portal, and they're especially compared to teams like Kentucky and Louisville who lost their coaches and had to replace the entire team.
Yeah.
John Shire lost a ton of players.
Yeah, for a team who didn't undergo a coaching change, they went
and were in the like Elite Eight.
Yeah, in the Elite Eight, and it was strange. I guess like Cooper Flagg in the freshman class scared him off. That's the only thing I can think of, which is insane. But I mean, the only recruit in Duke's class, and this is a good class, don't get me wrong, it's the number one class, but the only recruit that actually is frightening is Cooper Flagg. And he's going to be good from day one.
He's pretty frightening, though.
He's really frightening. And, you know, if you remember when Zion Williamson was there, and you had just wall-to-wall coverage, Zion Williamson and Duke, we're going to get the exact same thing with Cooper Flagg this year. It's going to be nonstop. He's going to be in your face. The Duke hype is going to be back to an all-time high, Krzyzewski level. My hope is that I'm wrong and that he may be great, but John Shire bleeped up the rest of the team, and they're just a disappointment. The way Zion Williamson, in the end, he wasn't a disappointment, but the team was a disappointment, and they didn't win at all.
They didn't even make a Final Four.
Coach,
hey, wasted Zion. But yeah, no, it kind of reminds me how in this – not completely apples to apples, but how when Louisville women's basketball was facing Iowa, I think it was in the Elite Eight, It was either the Elite Eight or the Final Four. I can't remember which. But Caitlin Clark went off. And,
yeah.
And I know I my timeline is full of old fans, obviously. But the common sentiment was like, oh, the announcers are loving too much on Caitlin Clark. Blah, why are they talking about her? Blah, blah, blah. Talk about Livermore. And I'm just like, she's putting up a 40-point triple.
Yeah, she's great. She's great. That's why they're talking about Caitlin Clark because she's great.
She's doing literally something that's literally never been done in the history of the NCAA tournament. I mean, putting up a 40-point triple-double is a big deal in the NBA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, dude, on the college stage, you know, it isn't easy to do. There aren't a lot of people, men or women, that have done or can do that, and she did it consistently. So it's like, yeah, I agree with you. There's some times where it'll get on my nerves watching a game.
But then you watch the people they're talking about, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I can understand why they're talking so much about them.
Yeah, exactly, because you're like, oh, shut up, don't talk about them, no, talk about my team. And then, but at the same time, you're watching them, you're like, okay, they're really, really good. Like, I understand why this is happening now. For Kentucky, I mean, they play Duke early on. They play them in the Champions Classic. I mean, that's like their second game of the season. Maybe first or second game of the season. I can't remember which, but it's early on. And I hope Mark Pope's got something drawn up for Cooper Flagg.
I know who's going to defend them. That BYU transfer who just got back from his mission.
That's right. That's right. Colin Chandler. Colin Chandler's going to take him down. No, it'll probably be...
That was my favorite recruit out of this whole
thing. Real ball. I know Kelly Kraft like that one.
Real ball knowers know that this guy's a baller.
Yeah.
Also, I know he hasn't played basketball in 2 years. So, but he's a baller.
He's a baller. It'll probably be Amari Williams that'll probably be on Cooper Flagg, the Drexel transfer.
He's actually a good defender.
Yeah, he's you know, he's supposed to be like the best defender on the team. Him and Otega are supposed to be this. So it'll probably be them that'll be guarding him. But I mean, that's gonna show you, that's a good thing about both basketball schedules for both teams. We won't have to find out very long how good they are. Because both have great non-conference schedules.
Louisville gets Tennessee game two. I mean, I think it's who do they play? Bellarmine game one? Is that who it is? I believe so, yeah. Yeah, Bellarmine, which I don't want to discredit Bellarmine too much, but like Bellarmine, after that first year where they're undergoing that transitionary period, they haven't really been the same. Like Bellarmine wasn't really that great this past season.
Right.
But then after that, we talk crap about Rick Barnes all we want, but regular season Rick Barnes is different.
No, regular season Rick Barnes is a beast, 100%. I mean, he was that way at Texas. He's been that way at Tennessee. He can't do a damn thing in the NCAA tournament most of the time. But during the regular season, he's got his guys locked in, and they're always going to be tough. They're always going to play defense. Last year, he found out how to play offense with Dalton Connect, so they were a little different. But no, that's going to be a great game as a barometer early on.
And then the battle for Atlantis, too. I mean, we don't know the exact schedule. But like I think like five or six of those teams in that field are projected to be in the top 25 or around that.
Yeah, let me look it up here quick.
I think you've got Zona, Indiana. I think Creighton is in there if I remember correctly.
That sounds about right. I know Zona and Indiana are both, and they'll both be top 25 teams. So it's Arizona, they'll be top 25. Mm-hmm. Davidson, probably not. Gonzaga will be top 25. Yep. IU will be top 25. Oklahoma, probably not. Providence, probably not. And then West Virginia, not. So you've got four teams in there that are going to be legit.
But West Virginia does have Darren DeVries, so.
Yeah.
I mean, that'll be a good matchup.
Yeah, that'll be a good matchup. So, but you're going to have four legit top 25 teams. Hell, Arizona and Gonzaga would be top 15.
Yeah.
I mean, because they just love putting Gonzaga up there. It's one of their favorite
teams. And I think the voters are really liking Indiana so far, even though Mike Woodson is sitting on a very, very warm seat. I don't want to say it's super hot yet, but the temperature, dial is cranking up a little bit.
Did you listen to that? Well, of course, you shouldn't have listened to this podcast, but.
I heard the kerfuffle.
Yeah.
So I heard of the kerfuffle. I didn't hear the kerfuffle.
So basically, he said to this podcaster for the Hoosier Hysterics in his office with Scott Dolson, who's the AD at Indiana, sitting right next to him, "I'll leave when I want to leave," in front of the athletic director.
Whew.
Basically saying, "This is my program. You can't push me out." So basically, he's pissed off because the Hoosier Hysterics, among a lot of Indiana media and fans, were kind of like, "This, you know, you didn't make the tournament, and what the hell is this? Like, you know, you got to make the tournament. This is Archie Miller stuff. This is Tom Crean stuff. What are you doing?" I mean, that season for them stunk, and he basically told them they don't know basketball, and how dare you criticize me? And I'm not leaving until I want to leave. So
he's certainly not lacking confidence.
No, he's not lacking confidence. That's why I'm like, how hot is his seat? If he's that confident to say that in front of his AD, I wonder how confident he is that he's going to keep his job, and how, you know, who really is pulling the strings behind the scenes there, which I found to be interesting.
Mike Woodson thinks he's the one who knocks.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm the one who knocks. He did trick Kenny Payne. So he's got some tricks up his sleeves.
That zone, that's hard to deal with.
That legendary IU zone.
Do you have that queued up, Tanner, that he tricked me?
I'll try and find it.
Please bring it back. I just had, all right, while he's trying to find that, let's read some text here real quick. Texter, so Rick Barnes and Cal are essentially the same person, except Cal did win a title. Cal will always have, it was Anthony Davis. He was a Cooper flagging train. He may have transcended Cal's coaching, but Calipari does have that, and he is in the Hall of Fame.
The ultimate Trump card.
Texter. Where do we find the video of Pope in the football helmet? Okay, if you go to at Kentucky Hoops IG on Twitter.
It'd be easier if you just retweeted it, James.
Wouldn't it be much easier?
Huh?
I'll just tell them. Just go to at Kentucky Hoops IG. I'm not going to do that.
I don't know if you want the listener.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Tanner. Here it is.
Go ahead.
Kennedy played back-to-back days, so it wasn't all the time, obviously, to prepare for Indiana, but then they throw zone at you, which they've never shown all year. Did that just sort of, like, shock you guys? And you guys even talk about the zone with them at all?
I knew Woody wouldn't play zone, or I thought he tricked me. But to be honest with you, that would be the last thing I think we would have a problem with, because we have been really, really good versus zone.
I didn't think Woody was going to run zone, so he tricked me. I'll never forget it.
I won't either for much worse
For much different reasons. Yeah, for much different reasons.
Was it?
Don't jump off the Titanic.
Yeah, don't jump off the Titanic.
And it was our fault.
Yes.
Real men went down with the ship.
Yeah.
It was actually McGavick's fault. I remember Kenny Payne singling him out. This is Matt McGavick's fault that it has not worked out. This is, I blame him.
I want Kirby Smart to call you out when they beat UK this year. I just, because of the whole, like,
my son,
he was
him.
Like super nice, like all
he
that
was.
And then I just want him to like turn heel, like post game press or press conference, but like, yeah, that one, that was for Round Daddy.
his
kid's cool, but the dad.
Dad, yeah. That
I think his name's Round Father. I don't know.
50-15 beating is for Round Daddy. Texter Strebel secured. Texter Round Daddy T's going to give Pope and Kelsey Heisman pose shirts. That's a good idea. That's a good one. I like that. Texter Pope is not on the football field alone like Squints. He has the team out there working out. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you're by yourself or not.
No, here's a good idea for sure. You've got Pat Kelsey doing the Heisman, and you've got Mark Pope doing like the watch thing that Shitter Sanders.
The watch. That's good. Yeah, Kelsey doing Heisman, Pope doing the watch. I like it. All right, I'll get Max on that. He's the brains behind the operation. I'll get Max Godby to work on that. We'll get their like silhouettes, and we can't put their faces on it because of copyright, name, and likeness and everything. But maybe we get their silhouette and be like, yeah,
sure,
here we go.
We need a touchdown. Watch.
they're going to be fat. I don't know if they're going to be fascinating to watch, but that's going to be interesting to watch to see how Colorado like handles stinking and being bad. And after getting all the love and adulation that they got early in the season, and see now what they do, because there's going to be pressure on them. Because there's going to be a lot more pressure. Last year was kind of fun, and oh look, they're winning games, and Deion's fun, and they talk junk, and Shadur does the watch, and da 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 da. Now it's like, okay, you won four games last year, go to a bowl game.
Yeah,
how are they going to handle that?
And plus, like, they loaded up in the transfer portal again, and
they did.
They have talent. I mean, Shadur, he's going to be one of the top QBs off the board next season.
Yeah, Travis Hunter's
a first rounder. I mean, he's probably going to be on a few Heisman short lists for the Heisman.
Absolutely.
I mean, they've got talent. I mean, but it doesn't seem like the whole camaraderie offseason gelling aspect of everything really comes together.
No, it's funny that, and again, the story's been refuted by Deion Sanders and Shadur Sanders, but I don't know
what story you're about.
Yeah, but he forced everyone to go to watch Shadur Sanders rap. It was a Lil Wayne concert.
It was a Lil Wayne concert. No, it was a Lil Wayne concert, but Shadur was opening for
him. That's what he's opening. He opened for Lil Wayne. He's like forced the team to go to watch Shadur. He's like, support your teammate, watch Shadur Sanders. I would go to a Lil Wayne concert just to go to a Lil Wayne concert.
Oh, absolutely.
I would go just to see Lil Wayne. You don't have to tell me to go to see Shadur Sanders. He's there, kick rocks, get out of here. I want to see Lil Wayne.
Have you listened to his rap single?
I have not.
It's bad.
Is it bad? I can't imagine it being good.
It's not cringy bad. It's just traditional bad.
This traditional bad, just like stupid bad. Now, I tell you what was cringy bad. Did you hear the Darren Waller, like, like R&B love song. God,
it made him retire.
Yeah, he retired. Dude, it was all auto-tuned. Oh. It was terrible. It's about him and Kelsey Plum getting a divorce, or Kelsey Plum. Sorry, Kelsey Plum yeah. getting a divorce. It was like, dude, if auto-tune can't fix your voice, you should not be doing this,
bro. You fumbled Kelsey Plum. You might want to lay low.
Yeah, just lay low. Yeah, you fumbled Kelsey Plum. Number one, you already have a big L in that regard. Don't make it worse by going out there making this terrible auto-tune, you still can't sing love song about fumbling Kelsey Plum.
Speaking about cringy and football, I just saw this like 2 seconds ago.
Yeah?
This is a Jets fan.
Oh, no.
Weeping to Aaron Rodgers.
I just want a Super Bowl, please.
Oh, God.
That's so nice.
Was this at training camp?
That's terrible.
It's at the American Century Championship. It's like a golf tournament or something.
He went and cried in front of Aaron Rodgers at a golf tournament?
I think his wife's like behind him too.
Who, the guy's wife?
Yeah.
My wife would have divorced me.
Oh, yeah.
She'd be like, you're an embarrassment. You're this terrible. Why are you crying in front of another adult man? Like, what is wrong with you?
Like this man's presence is bringing you to tears. What is wrong with you? This is not Jesus Christ. This is Aaron Rodgers.
Was that Biscuit? Was that Biscuit?
I was going to say.
He's a
fan. I thought it was Biscuit.
It was Biscuit. No, he's in the building. He's not there, so it might be
also,
Cooper.
Biscuit wouldn't do that.
He Biscuit would have slapped him.
Yeah. Yeah. Biscuit didn't like Aaron Rodgers.
Get off the drugs. Go on to training camp. Come on.
Get off the ayahuasca. RFK doesn't want you. RFK doesn't want you.
Can you just play a quarter for me? Finish the drive out.
Give me one quarter.
I tell you what, his other Achilles has the chance to do the funniest
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. Oh yeah. Well, it's for the, like, Aaron Rodgers is kind of like a weird dude anyway. Like, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers' face during that is like, what are you doing, man? Like, what?
Like, no, like, you can kind of hear him like, yeah, Super Bowl, yeah.
Like okay, yeah, buddy, yeah,
please
sure.
Please leave me alone.
Okay, yeah, go away. Don't stalk me, okay? Like, don't find out where I live. It's like that movie. Have you ever seen the movie The Fan? It's an older movie. It's before both of your times. It wasn't a very good movie, so probably not. But anyway.
It sounds familiar.
Wesley Snipes played a baseball player for the Giants, and he was like kind of like a Barry Bonds character or whatever, and he was great, and he was traded to the San Francisco Giants, and Robert De Niro plays this like psycho uber super Giants fan, and Wesley Snipes is, what's up, Biscuit? Wesley Snipes is season isn't going very well, and he's like, his numbers are down, so Robert De Niro starts stalking him and like tries to kill him and kidnaps his son. Now, Biscuit, have you seen this Jets fan crying to Aaron Rodgers? Hey, bring Biscuit to the mic. Bring him to the mic. Well, we're going to play this again. Let Biscuit hear it as a fellow Jets fan and react to this. Okay, go ahead and play it again, Tanner. Go ahead.
I just want a Super Bowl, please.
Oh, wait, you can't hear it?
No.
He just got, put on the headphones. Yeah, you got to hear this. This is pathetic.
This is you, Biscuit.
This is you.
I just want a Super Bowl, please.
Nice. He's like ugly crying. He's ugly. He's going,
I don't see the problem here.
On that note, we'll end the show. It's a perfect mic drop to end the show. Matt McGavick, thank you for coming in. Great job today, Tanner. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Get Phil Baker in here on the roundtable. It's ESPN 680 1057.